So this morning we continue and complete and finish our little mini-series, which, believe it or not, we're still sitting in Psalm 1, 1 to 3, as well as in Acts 2, as well as in Philippians 1, and now also we're sitting in John 4. And we're going to spend a little bit more time in John 4 than maybe we did in Philippians 1 last week. Just a reminder, the 3 weeks we've looked at being grounded in God's love, growing in God's love, and now today is about giving. I thought when I made the title of the talk Giving, I thought it's not the first time there's been a talk titled Giving, given at a church. But I'm not actually going to talk about money. I hope that at the end of it we all understand that for me to define what your giving must look like for you would be wrong. In fact, that's something that God is going to sort out and decide, and it may or may not involve money. So let's have a bit of a recap from the last couple of weeks. We looked at grounded. I used 3 other words that I mentioned Peter Curry used a few weeks back at a minister's family camp. He talked about knowing, becoming, and living, or being and living. And we've looked at grounded and growing and giving. They're all much the same. But I want to introduce a new word for this final one. So we're looking at giving or living out God's love. I've put the word overflowing up there as well. And I don't know what you think about when I use the word overflowing. I know that for some of us, it'll have bad connotations and memories, the idea of overflowing. That was actually, because when you do a Google image search for overflowing, you get pictures of toilets that are not that clean and nice and attractive, if that is indeed an attractive toilet. But you get pictures of overflowing toilets, and they're not overflowing with good things, are they? One of the things about overflowing and our lives is that the human life is always overflowing with something. The question is, with what? And one of the things, I haven't used this term for a while, but we've looked at this idea as how, as people, we do work very hard at not allowing the bad things in us, our brokenness, to overflow. But it often, and the term I've used is leaks, it will leak out. We're often able to hide who we are from other people, but we leak, we can tend to leak, especially if we have a lot of anger within us, or a lot of depression or anxiety, it leaks out. So in a sense, it overflows. Whatever is within us, it will come out at some point. We were made to be, as human beings, I think, to express who we are on the inside in our lives to those around us. We can't actually stop that. So how about a nicer image of overflowing, perhaps? Yes, please, you all say. So a nice image of crystal clear, sparkling water being poured into a glass. And it's overflowing, and you can see that it's now also on the table. And if you were nearby, perhaps you might even have some drops of water as you are sort of hit by some of the water that's bouncing around. There is an abundance of water there, isn't there? That's not the picture that we get when we think about drought in Australia and a lack of water. This is more than enough. That's the whole idea of overflowing, that something is filled till it is full and then there is still more available. Remember what we looked at last week? Growing, the idea that there is more. Well, this week we're actually just moving on from that idea that somehow God works in us so that there's something more within us. Well, today we're just looking at how that more comes out, how it overflows. But this isn't a picture of a toilet where bad things overflow. This is a picture of, I think, the way God has designed and desires for us to be, that there would be good things going into our lives and that there would be good things overflowing from our lives as we are grounded and grow in His love and in His presence. So my first point this morning is this idea of scarcity to abundance. And I think I've mentioned that before, that we believe and follow and love a God who is a God who is about abundance, not scarcity. He is a God who is this idea of more. I love the Genesis creation account. He just speaks and there's more and there's more and there's more. God has this ability as the creator God to have things that just come about because of who He is. But that's not the picture we get in John 4 with regards to this woman. She's a Samaritan woman, and she's not supposed to interact with Jews, which is who Jesus is. The Samaritans were part of Israel, of course, but they were deemed to be not holy enough, not good enough. They didn't worship at the temple in Jerusalem. They were second, third, fourth, fifth class when it came to God's people. And so she's sitting there at a well in the middle of the day, and it's hot, and there's nobody else there. And Jesus, as I mentioned a few weeks back, does something that he shouldn't have done. He speaks to a woman, first of all, speaks to her in public, even though there's nobody else about, and she's a Samaritan. It's a triple head issue. But he talks to her and asks her for a drink. Do you know why she was there in the middle of the day? We find out as the story goes on that this woman doesn't have one husband. She's had seven. And the man that she lives with now is not her husband. Jesus is able to tell her that. She's there because she is the sort of person that the women of the town would talk about. And the women would have been there at the well early in the day, before the sun got up, before it was hot. But she wouldn't have been there, because she would not have been accepted, even by them. So she's a Samaritan woman who's living a sinful life and is not even accepted by other Samaritan women. And she is there, and Jesus asks her for a drink, and listen to the scarcity in her voice. How can you ask me for a drink? You're not supposed to even look at me, let alone talk to me. I'm just a poor Samaritan woman. I'm just here in the middle of the day, the heat of the day, getting what I can get, and you want me to get you something? There's scarcity there. There's not an overflow. There's not a, yes, I would love to give you. I would love to fill your glass till it overflows, Jesus. No, there's none of that. How can you ask me for a drink? And then he does this little speech where he says, if you knew who you were talking to, well, you'd be asking me for a drink. And then she says, well, and once again, she goes into scarcity mode. You've got nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. In other words, it's beyond your ability to get anything. How are you going to give me anything? You've got nothing to offer me, she says. And then he tells her about living water. He says, this water I've got, it's living water. And then you realize that in her scarcity, she's thirsty. Do you hear that? She says, where can I get this living water? She's lacking. She's afraid to come to the well in the morning. She comes in the middle of the day because she's somebody who's been rejected by her own people. She is an outcast. She's without. She has nothing, but geez, she's thirsty. Now, I wanted to, the person's not here, so won't be embarrassing them directly, but somebody last Sunday gave me 4 Henry Nouwen books. So as you can imagine, you're going to get Henry Nouwen quotes this morning. But I've been reading a lovely book by Henry Nouwen. He says, when fear dominates our lives, we cannot quietly and patiently protect that holy place where fruit can grow. 2 ways in which fear manifests itself are sterility and productivity. And what he means, just very quickly with that, is that when we are in a place where fear is ruling us, not love, then it makes it very hard for us to be fruitful, to be people who bear fruit. He says we can go in one of 2 ways. We can be sterile, that is, we actually shut down completely and we just don't bring anything to the table. We're afraid to do that, so we don't. But he also says the other thing that we can do is actually become very productive. We try very hard to make ourselves fit, to make ourselves be acceptable, to produce something. We often go running around doing a lot of activity because it makes us feel like we're doing something to make us appear fruitful. But he makes a real point of saying productivity is not fruitfulness. There's a difference. We'll look at more of that in a minute. He says the experience of sterility is the experience of not being truly alive and therefore of being unable to give life. That is when we are not grounded, we're not growing in God's love. In fact, we're living in a world of fear where the world is telling us that we're not good enough and that we have to conform. And if we're lucky, we may be accepted. This Samaritan woman has little to give, and yet Jesus is not in the place that she is in. He's not in a place of fear. He is the son of a father whose house is that of love. And so for him, he is in a place where Jesus is just walking around overflowing. He has something to offer, which he has said to her, you knew who I was and you asked me, you'd realize I'm overflowing with something to give you, which will help you to go from a place of scarcity to abundance. And so he says to her in verse 14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Jesus is overflowing and so is able to say to her, I've got something to offer you out of what is within me. It's coming out of me. I can give it to you. And the amazing thing is if indeed you drink that, in verse 14 he continues to say, indeed the water I give you will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There'll actually be something within you that will begin to produce this. You will start to overflow. And so Jesus talks right here in this chapter, in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, this idea of knowing, if you would just know, then you could grow and then you could overflow. It sounds refreshing, doesn't it? This woman has so much potential, if indeed she would be open to taking what Jesus offers out of the overflow of who he is. She will actually go from being somebody who is there in the middle of the day avoiding everybody else to somebody that people will come to because of what is overflowing from her. And if you know this passage well, then you would know that before the end of the chapter, that is what happens. It's amazing. It sounds refreshing. Is she thirsty? Does she want it? Is she going to ground herself and grow in what it is that Jesus offers, or will she cut herself off from that because she thinks she has enough or she can produce it herself? Well, the good news is, and this is such a great story, in verse 15, she says, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty. We don't know, maybe she's speaking allegorically, or maybe she just still hasn't twigged to the fact that Jesus is speaking allegorically, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Of course, it's more than just drawing water, isn't it? But can you see the tiredness? Can you hear the tiredness? I've had enough of trying to be productive. I've had enough of this coming to get what I need from my own strength. As she has pointed out, this well is deep. And I have to come here in the heat of the day because I'm not accepted by my own people. So she says, give me this water. I'm tired of this. So the last couple of weeks we've looked at Psalm 1, and what does Psalm 1 have to say about this? We looked at this a little bit last week with the idea of growing. He's like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit. There's a fruitfulness to the blessed man who is going to sit in the courts of the Lord, be grounded in God's love and grow in God's love. He's going to yield a fruit in season, and his leaf will not wither. Oh, it's this great picture. It even says whatever he does prospers. We've had a look at Acts 2 and the fellowship of the believers, and in that we see there's this overflow from the fellowship of the believers. It says they gave to anyone as he had need, because they had more than enough. And so they just overflowed with love and generosity to those around them. It says, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, the Lord added to their number daily. There's this picture of overflow in Acts 2. This is who the early community that were the followers of Jesus were like. There was an overflow from them. And last week we looked at Philippians 1, didn't we? And did you notice Paul's prayer for the Philippians was that they would overflow. He says, this is my prayer for you, that your love may abound more and more. That you would overflow with what you've been grounded in and are growing in. There's this picture in John 4, as well as this prayer by Paul in Philippians 1, that we believe in a God who has more. He has more than enough. He is a God of love and a God of acceptance and forgiveness and grace, and he has more than enough for you. That's what we tend to do, isn't it? We limit acceptance. We limit grace. We do that all the time, and yet we believe in a God who has more than enough acceptance. We have two dogs in our household because my daughter got a dachshund pup. So we have a fox terrier and a dachshund. They're both small. And when I bend down to pat one, the other one freaks out. Because they see me, and you all know this is what dogs do. Cats, you feed them and pat them and care for them, and they go, "I must be God." Whereas dogs, you pat them and feed them and care for them, and they go, "You must be God." They look at me, and each of them, it's like, "Oh my goodness, God is giving attention to the other one. There's not enough attention for both of us." And they freak out and get upset, and I've got to pat both of them. And I'm going, "Well, I've got two hands. If we ever get a third dog, I'll be in trouble. But I've got two hands. I can actually pat both of you at once." And they stand there thoroughly content as they look at each other going, "Hey, I'm being patted. I'm being patted." We can be like that. We can think, does God have enough love for me? Does he have enough acceptance for me? And what we often do is we'll look at other people and we'll judge them. And we'll look at them and we'll go, "Well, they couldn't be acceptable to God." And I think one of the things that is the reason we do that is because deep down within us we're going, because if God accepts them, maybe he won't have room for me, because we operate, we live in a world of scarcity and not abundance, but we believe in a God of abundance. There is enough grace. There is enough love. There's enough forgiveness. There's enough acceptance for you and for me. We believe in a God of more. And so Jesus says this thing to this woman in verse 10. I don't know if you picked up on it. It's just a little thing. But he says, "If you knew the gift of God." In verse 10, he says, "If you knew the gift of God, your life would be so different." You wouldn't be living in this scarcity. You would be recognizing that this is a gift that is given freely to you. It's given freely to everyone. It's given to anybody who would just come and drink. And so Henry Nouwen says, "Whenever we trust and surrender ourselves to the God of love, fruits will grow. Fruits can only come forth from the ground of intimate love." Fruit ultimately comes from connection with God. That's where we find intimate love, real, true, intimate, accepting, non-conditional love. It's only in that place, which is why I think Jesus says in John 15, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing." You've got to be in this ground, he says. And that translation just so does water down what Jesus is saying. Because he says, it's often translated as abide, but in it will remain in. It means to make your home in. Jesus says, "If you would make your home in me, I will make my home in you." It's intimate. Deep, intimate love. And it's only in that situation that there will be this overflow that occurs. We need to be grounded, we need to be growing so that we can overflow. So I hope you can see that this third talk really does anchor on that foundation of the first two talks, doesn't it? Being grounded in God's love, being growing in God's love. That's how this happened. And I was so tempted this morning to give a talk on giving where we talk about, so this is what we will do as people who give. We will, and I could go money, we will give this amount of money, this percentage of our income, because we're grounded in God's love and growing in God's love. We will have a certain percentage of us that will go into the mission field. We will expect that each of you will talk to this number of non-Christians each week and tell them the gospel, because this is what it means to overflow, but I can't do that. God doesn't do that. Because to put into words what he calls us to do, specifically each as individuals, would be to limit, and he's not limited in that way, so he leaves it much more open. In John 13:34, he says, as I have loved you, you must love one another. So what he focuses on is the type of love. How I've loved you. I've loved you freely. I've loved you and accepted you as you are. It is from that starting point. And so once again, Henry Nouwen, and believe it or not, this is not the last Henry Nouwen quote. He says, the great mystery of fruitfulness, and I think this is really important, is that it becomes visible where we have given up our attempts to control life and take the risk to let life reveal its own inner movements. We actually let go, and as one modern-ish songwriter said, Jesus, take the wheel. Obviously, that's not an old hymn because they didn't have steering wheels back then. Jesus, take the wheel. Help me to let go of my life and let what outpours from me because of you direct who I am and what I do. Let me live freely in the love that I've been grounded in and have grown in. As it says somewhere else, love will never fail to instruct you. And so it's not for me to stand up here and say, this is what your love will look like this week. It means you will do this, 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 and this. I can't. I've got to let go and let you let go. And do as you feel God prompts you through his Spirit as he works in you and overflows from you. See, this is his work. As Henry Nouwen goes on to say, he says, fruits are not made, nor are they result of specific human action that can be repeated, neither predictable nor definable. Fruits are gifts to be received. It's what I've received from God that is flowing out of me. That's what it is. It was a gift that I received. This woman at the well is going to receive a gift. Jesus said, if you only knew about the gift. She's going to receive a gift, and that gift is what she's going to give. It's not up to me to say this is what that gift will look like. It's precisely, he says, this quality of gift that distinguishes fruits from what we talked about earlier, productivity, where we just do things, where we manufacture things. And if I was to stand up here and say, for you, giving this week is going to look like this percentage of your income financially, then I have really gone into productivity, haven't I? Products. No, it's got to be what it is that God is moving in you. Fruit. Not products. And so the third and final point is to be generous. Generous in the sense of be generous with what's been given to you. You are overflowing. A move from that place of scarcity to abundance. Don't be afraid to accept and to love wildly and passionately as God has loved you. And this is the last Henry Nouwen quote. He says, God is a God of the living. And wherever God's loving presence becomes known, we see life bursting forth. It's a great picture. We believe in a God, not of scarcity. We believe in the God who can create. And in Genesis, he creates a whole lot of material things. He makes the earth. He makes the stars. He does amazing things. He makes us as human beings. But that was not his end point in his creative plan. His creative plan meant that one day he would have a people who have flown out of him. That is a people of love. That was his desire. That was his plan. And they would be a people where he would dwell. Why? Because that's the only way they can be a people bursting forth with life, is if he is present in them. And so I do want to encourage you this week, and please hear, I'm not wanting to go down the line of productivity. I'm actually wanting to encourage you in a spiritual practice that is one that I've found so encouraging when I've done it. And that is to tell somebody who needs to hear it that they are deeply, intimately, and unreservedly loved by God. Just to use words, just to share that knowledge that you have within you, that you are. And if this is something that you are struggling to know, I encourage you to be grounded and growing and to go back to the one who loves you and ask him to help you know this. But to be able to share just that information with somebody this week, that they are deeply, intimately, and unreservedly loved by God. Now, it may be that that person, to use the term God, the name God, may be offensive to them. It might, you know, there might be some history there, and so you can say, and this is quite okay, because this isn't where the conversation ends. This could be where the conversation starts. You might need to say to someone who needs to hear it that they are deeply, intimately, and unreservedly loved by the most important person in the universe. You can do it that way if you want. You can be creative with it. But share that love, that knowledge of that love with somebody this week. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us as shown through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for these 3 weeks where we've been reminded of them, of our need to be grounded in your love. That we need to lean into that love and to grow in that. That we need to be thirsty. We also thank you for today and just the reminder that we are not going to be overflowing with something that we don't have, that as we are grounded and growing in you, as you work in us, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to overflow. Lord, help us to realize your gift. Help us to realize the enormity of your love for us. Help us move from scarcity to abundance, especially in the way we view and understand your love. Remind us this morning, Lord, and this week, that there is enough. There is more than enough of your love for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.